Welcome to the Profit Cash Growth Podcast. This is the podcast for six and seven figure business owners who are looking to grow a financially successful business. My co-host, Claire Hancock, is a finance director, chartered accountant, and entrepreneur. And every week, I'll be exploring guidance and frameworks designed to help you increase your profits, improve your cash flow, and grow your business. This week on the podcast, the great Easter egg hunt. What does it mean for the economy and can we draw any conclusions from it? And in this week's deep dive, how do you manage slightly seasonal businesses? Hi Claire, how are you this week?
Yeah, much better, thanks Simon. I sound back to normal today.
Good, you sound nearly back to normal, which is all very good. Shall we move straight on to this week's news story of the week?
Absolutely.
So this week, our news story of the week is a self-confessed news story. It's our Easter egg hunt, the great Easter egg hunt that we had this Good Friday, wasn't it? Which, to tell people a bit more about that, it was basically our gallivant around, five supermarkets just within our local town to get our hands or try and get our hands on some Easter eggs for our nieces and nephews, which was a very thankless task. And we just wanted to have a bit of a debate about what that actually means for the economy and shops and how we ended up in a situation like that.
Yeah, now we've got 8 nieces and nephews between us, haven't we? And we do the same thing pretty much every year. We go out on Good Friday and we will buy Easter eggs and then deliver them on our various trips that we make to see family over Easter, as I'm sure lots of other people do. And we could not find an Easter egg for love nor money. Now, don't get me wrong, there were a few left in the supermarkets, but the main culprit that seemed to be left in the supermarkets was a dairy milk fruit and nut. So clearly that was not a very popular one.
Friendly one.
No, not very child friendly
and
either.
Orange twirl. Orange twirl, don't forget
about
that.
Yeah, there was a few left in the co-op. I mean, to be fair, I do like an orange twirl, so I would have been very happy if you bought me one of them.
Kids don't probably.
Yeah, they're a bit too young for probably orange chocolate. So
anyway,
yeah.
why are we talking about this, Claire? What's this got to do with business?
Well, what does it mean for the economy? I think this is quite an interesting one actually, because does it mean that, you know, is it a sure sign that if people are splurging on Easter eggs and all of the supermarkets are sold out, is that a sure sign that the economy is really bouncing back and we're back to our typical consumer habits of spend, spend, spend? I don't know.
Especially
what do you think?
Seasonally, you know, people wait for an event or a reason to get together with the family or do things to a little bit of extravagance, and away they go buying Easter eggs, perhaps more than they've ever bought Easter eggs before. It could be that, or it could be simply that the supply chains are just a little bit out of kilter with their historical data based on what's happened in previous years, and they were just off on their production.
Well, the other thing that I've noticed over the last few years is this happens similarly at Christmas. Now, I have always hated like the Christmas rush and the Easter rush and things like that. So I would be the kind of person that would go to the supermarket quite late and think I could just avoid all the crowds and get everything. And the last few years, if you have been to a supermarket on, for example, Christmas Eve, it's like Christmas doesn't exist. There is nothing Christmassy left in the shops whatsoever. And I'm wondering, is this like a change in habit in the supermarkets that they don't want this, they have loads of stock left over, they don't want that they have to then have a sale and sell everything at cut price? And I think it's maybe something that a lot of smaller businesses have potentially been struggling with, particularly if you're in a retail business and you've had a really poor sort of spring season, is that you've got loads of stock left and you have to sell it at such a low price. And maybe it's just something that the supermarkets don't want to do anymore. They don't want to sell Easter and Christmas stuff cheap anymore.
True. It does seem to be a changing trend that they seem to be changing the guards early on everything nowadays. So like you get to Christmas Eve and like you say, they've already got the sunglasses out ready for the summer. And that type of thing. So it's, definitely an interesting one. Definitely something to draw, you know, some thoughts and conclusions from, because this wasn't just one supermarket. I mean, we went to the first one, which was obviously Tesco and huge, but then to go around Tesco, Morrison's, Co-op, Aldi, M&S, Waitrose, and
we were really
to find
out
that every single one was like that is, that is unusual. And I guess, and it's a knock-on effect that everyone's doing the same thing, which is causing those issues. But it is a gross misinterpretation of what the sort of supply and demand would have been for Easter eggs this year, which is interesting.
And we weren't the only ones. I know that
loads of people talked to
with family, everyone was saying they couldn't find
different
Easter eggs
in different parts of the country.
So, yeah, it's really interesting. Were the supermarkets caught out with high demand? Did they do this on purpose that they didn't have any excess stock? I don't know. If anyone's got any insights in this, we'd love to know a little bit more about it.
If you work in the supermarket industry,
please let us
and
know.
You know that you've been caught out short and you know there's a core reason why, we'd love to know, because we'd love to know everything we possibly can about the ins and outs of every different business. So do give us a shout. Anyway, it segues us on quite nicely this week to our deep dive conversation, which is all about managing seasonal businesses. So Claire, this week you want to have a chat about helping people who have highly seasonal businesses on the back of some analysis you've done with a particular client last week. Tell us a little bit about what you want to deep dive into.
Yeah, so we're going to have a chat about seasonal businesses. Now, what we're not talking about is, even though Simon's just said highly seasonal businesses, we're not talking about those businesses that, you know, for example, if you sell summer holidays or if you sell Christmas goods, you know, you're only going to have sales in a certain time of the year. And no matter what you do, you can't really do much about that. What we're talking about is businesses that have peaks and troughs, quite significant peaks and troughs. And the reason that this is at the forefront of my mind is because one of the businesses that I'm working with at the moment is a transport company. And we, over the past 5 or 6 years, they have doubled their turnover. And I did some analysis for them on their sales. And we looked at quarterly sales for the past 6 years. Now, if you follow me on Facebook or Instagram, then you would see that I actually posted about this, that their quarterly sales over the past 6 years has all of their growth has come in Q2 and Q3. And when you look at quarter one, it is completely flat. And I mean completely flat. There's not even been inflationary growth, which therefore means that actually their sales have gone back in Q1. But this brings quite a lot of problems to businesses and challenges.
Does it? What kind of challenges?
Well, the first thing is that it doesn't take a genius to work out that this business is going to, if they've doubled their turnover, they've probably increased their infrastructure by nearly 50% again. They've got nearly 50% capital expenditure in trucks and vans and things like that. And those trucks and vans are going to be sitting unutilized, massively underutilized in Q1. And that's cost. And not only that, they've also got a significant number of payroll staff that are sitting there underutilized in Q1 too. So that obviously massively affects their profitability.
Why does this business have particularly up and down elements? Does it not have like regular contracted business, or, you know, it seems very strange for a transport business not to be regular?
Yeah, it's a very specialist transport business. It actually moves like race cars, classic cars, like really specialized cars that need to go on closed and covered transport. It's not like the transporters that you see tramping up and down the motorway. These are like highly specialist cars with like where the whole bottom of the truck can be lowered to the road. So like, you know, if you think about an F1 vehicle or something, yeah, it's not going to go on a truck either.
So is it normal for them to have those seasonal peaks and troughs because those cars are, again, going to events in springs and summers that they're not having in the winter and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So it'd always been a seasonal business to a certain extent, because like you say, there was a lot of event work in the summertime that they would pick up. But actually, when we go back 5 years and have a look at their sales, you know, Q2 and Q3 were busier, but not significantly. But what's happened now is they had started moving into a different category of customer. So they'd move more towards these race cars and all these specialist cars. And that is almost predominantly summer work only. So all of their growth had come by moving into this new area of race cars, which happened to mean that the business had become almost entirely seasonal. So they've still got the other work that they used to do, like film work and, you know, home deliveries for the likes of Tesla and people like that. They're still doing that type of work, which is more regular. But the new work that they had picked up, all of the new customers that they picked up were seasonal, and they had not really thought about the impact of picking up these seasonal customers before. They were just very excited to get these new customers because they were quite significant lump sums of money every year, and they hadn't been thinking about the seasonality.
So is there something that they could do to build out a sales strategy that specifically targets those quieter times where those trucks are now not utilizing? So there must be a yin to a yang of a type of business that needs them when those other ones don't need them. And would you recommend that they build out a strategy to go after that type of business to sort of backfill that quieter area?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think this is the key thing whenever you're looking at numbers, isn't it? Is that there's no point just looking at the numbers and knowing something. It's what action do you take about it? And what we have done is we've introduced into the monthly board pack that when we're looking at the sales, we're not just going to look at the top line sales number. We're going to look at the sales and the source that it's coming from, or the industry that customer belongs to. So are they a race company? Are they a home delivery company like Tesla or somebody like that? And we need to start taking decisive action to drive the race share, which is the predominantly seasonal work, down as a percentage of their overall sales. So we don't want the sales to go backwards, but we need all of the other areas to grow so that it's less significant for the business. So we'll we're going to be adding that slide into the board deck that we look at on a monthly basis. And at the monthly meeting that we have every month, we look at every slide and we decide, is the business on track where we want it to be? Are we hitting the targets? And if not, what actions do we need to take?
Okay. Is there any other lookouts that businesses, so they've sort of built themselves to a position where they weren't so reliant on this seasonality and now they've got this peak and trough element in their numbers. What are the other lookouts they need to be worried about if you're a business that's sort of going in that direction? Are there things that can catch you out, like cash or anything like that?
Yeah, and I think that's a really great question, Simon, because cash flow is...
Thank you.
This business gets into sort of March, April every year, and the business owner, as we were coming out of summer last year around August, September time, and they had so much money in the bank, and I was kind of saying to them, you know, we need to think about what we're doing with this money and why we're holding so much cash. And he said, oh, we need that for the quieter period. And I was like, well, April isn't your quiet period. You know, you shouldn't be short of cash then. But it's because they've come out of this really stagnant Q1 with really high overhead. So yeah, cash flow is a big challenge. And like I say, one of the things we've been looking at is that this is caused by customer type. So a specific type of customer that this business has been attracting.
Yeah.
But if you, for example, don't have that option of going and sourcing different customers, then you need to look at your product ranges and what other services can you bolt on, or what other products could you sell to try and smooth out that seasonality a bit more.
Okay, cool. And are there certain tools that they use to help manage that or get that visibility on the cash side of things to make sure they don't find themselves in trouble?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you need a cash flow forecast. And if you're a business of a certain size, I'd say probably, you know, 500k upwards would benefit. But definitely if you're a business that's turning over sort of £1.5-2 million, you should have a rolling cash flow forecast. But it's also quite prudent to look at your business on an annual basis and do an annual plan, because it's very easy to get to year end and just look at your annual sales and get excited about the growth that you've had. But to really, you need to be breaking it down and looking month per month or quarter per quarter. You know, how does this quarter look versus the last 5 years of quarters? And it's when you get into that level of detail that you can start to see where you might have issues with your cash flow, with your sales revenue, or with your margin or profitability.
Interesting. Great. Have you got anything else to add on that, Claire, or should we move on?
No, I think we've probably covered everything, unless you've got questions for me, Simon.
All done. Thanks for covering off a little bit of information about how to manage slightly seasonal businesses. And I will add slightly. Let's move on to this week's Profit Cash Growth Extra. So in this week's Profit Cash Growth Extra, I just want to offer a little tip which I offer to my team this week, which I've started to use and found really, really interesting. If you're somebody that operates when you're using the various online browsers, so I use Google Chrome, I find it really, really useful, and it sort of integrates with all the rest of the Google suite that I use. And if you're anything like me, you probably have hundreds of tabs open on Google at any one time because you're using lots of different web pages for lots of different workflows, and you find that you're diving from one side to the next. And you probably find that as you're working through the day, that you have a number of different workflows that require 1, 2, 3, 4 different programs or pieces of software that you actually want to try and utilize and group together. And something that I've stumbled across within Google Chrome that I found really, really helpful is the grouping of tabs. So if you right click on one of the tabs at any time, it gives you an offer to say, group these tabs, and you can effectively group a number of different tabs together. You can label the group and you can give the group a color. And with the click of a button, you can cascade open all of the tabs of that workflow, and you can close them back down again. Now, where this becomes really, really interesting is if people in your team are sharing certain PCs or computers, various other things like that. Again, you can label them with different people in the team to be able to keep their workflows open and shut them without crossing over.
I really like it. I use something similar because, for example, like when I sign on every morning to my computer, I will, for example, have a look at my email. There's certain things I go through. I'll have a little look. I'll open all my social media channels, for example, just to see, you know, are there any comments that we need to respond to, any what's happening with the statistics, are we getting views, engagement, etc. So I have all of my social media channels open on a tab, and then they're just grouped together.
Yep.
So I click on the group, it opens everything. I can look at them one by one and then just minimize that group, and it's gone until the next morning.
I do exactly the same thing. So when whenever I'm doing social work, it's all like Facebook, Instagram, all of those open, shut the group down, away you go. Whenever I'm doing listing of a property, it's like, I need our system open, I need Rightmove open, I need all these things, and then and shut it down. Yeah. Find it super, super, super easy. And so it's just a nice little tip.
Almost like a way of having, like, imagine like a list of hyperlinks to all of your favorite websites, but you don't need to open the webpage every time. You can keep them open in the background and then just group together so you can open the group up when you need it and minimize it when you don't need it.
Indeed.
It's a really great tool.
Brilliant. Well, thanks for joining us for another podcast. As always, you can find us online at profitcashgrowth.com, Facebook, Instagram, and check out the YouTube channel for more details of all of the things that we cover here in the podcast. And keep listening to us if you want to increase your profits, improve your cash flow, and grow your business.